Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we welcome to the program Alex McFarland, who is an author. He's also a radio host, and in fact, his latest book was written with Jason Jimenez, and it's called Stand Strong America. In fact, Alex has written 17 books, and sometimes he even speaks on college campuses, even to hostile audiences. I think it'd be best to describe you as an all-around Christian communicator, including Christian apologist, with an appeal to young people. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, that would be very fair to say, and I guess you need to add to my bio, though, a huge fan of Jerry Newcomb.
Oh, well, because, please. Okay. But, you know, actually, more importantly, your family of origin was touched by the ministry that I work for still, which is D. James Kennedy Ministries, and I'm so glad to know about that. In the 1980s, your family was impacted.
Absolutely. And Jerry, let me say what an honor it is to be on with you, because I do. I read you. I read the columns you write. I read your books. And I've
admired
your work from afar for a long time. But, yeah, in the 1980s, my parents rededicated their lives to Christ through the ministry of James Kennedy. They watched D. James Kennedy on television, just one of the great scholars of our lifetime. For those who may not be aware of his ministry, and I was touched by his books when I was a young Christian. One of his books on Why I Believe,
yes,
which is really kind of an apologetics book about the basics of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I read that book to this day, and it's been 30 years, and I give it away. And so his ministry and now your ongoing ministry have touched so many lives, our own included.
Well, you're very kind. AlexMcFarland.com for more information. All right, here we go. A couple weeks ago at the Democratic National Convention, Nancy Pelosi may have raised some eyebrows when she made the point that that a lot of white males won't be supporting Hillary Clinton because of the three G's. Explain this soundbite from Nancy Pelosi when she was talking with Judy Woodruff, PBS NewsHour.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I believe this was on July 28th, and just so condescending, so typical of the left, just to be very condescending and to be inaccurate. But I think it, one thing that's worth pointing out, she said, you know, God, guns, and gays, which really harkens back to the notion that conservatives are, you know, right-wing, deer-in-the-headlights expression, non-rational people clutching our Bibles in one hand and our guns in the other. Now, that type of a soundbite might be red meat to throw to the left-wingers who really look down on the people that work so hard and create the jobs and that are the backbone of this country. And it also looks down on the faith that has been the DNA and the backbone of the country, which is Christianity and belief in moral absolutes, objective truth. So, but it's important to point out, Jerry, that by drawing that line in the sand, moral truth, gays, self-defense, national defense, that's guns, but also morality and God. Clearly, Nancy Pelosi was saying that the Democrat platform is anti-God. I mean, really, either you're for God or you're on our platform. That's what Nancy Pelosi was essentially saying.
Yeah, and she even added, after saying the word God, she said, a woman's right to choose. By the way, I wrote a whole column just about the God part of Nancy Pelosi's comment, because basically it was sort of like abortion or God. Choose one.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I can honestly say I pray for Hillary Clinton, I pray for Obama, I pray for Nancy Pelosi. Because, look, I think about the very somber words of Matthew 7, 21 through 24. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. Can you imagine standing before God one day, as she will do, and she might plead her case, and God will say, well, now look, here, July 28th, you clearly squared off as being against truth and God. Because think about this. I mean, think about this. All of the pro-choice people that talk about a woman's right to choose are ignoring one of the very foundational precepts of the Declaration, that an inalienable right, you can't legitimately take it away, is the right to life.
Yeah.
In fact, the entire American Revolution against Britain was predicated on the fact, the founders' viewpoint was this, that if we don't respond to the immoral abuses of Great Britain, then we are complicit with that immorality. And that's why they would say, appealing to God for the rectitude of our intentions. In other words, we're in the right, and we know that if we didn't stand for moral truth, we would answer to God for it. Very, very clearly define lines of demarcation where we are at this time in our nation's history.
You know, I think that's true. In fact, when you look at the flaws of, let's say, Donald Trump, and many people are pointing those out, including some from the right, okay, and certainly many from the left, but you look at the platforms between the two different parties, you look at the commitments in terms of the pro-life versus pro-abortion rights, the contrast is very strong to me. It's a very clear choice as far as the election.
Exactly. Look, if it were up to me, the ticket would be Billy Graham and James Dobson. I mean, you know, but it's not. And I've got many Christian friends that are saying they don't want to vote or they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. But look, we're talking about several things. We're talking about 40 years worth of Supreme Court justices that are going to be appointed by the next president. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about fighting ISIS and national defense. We're talking about our relationship with the nation of Israel. I was in a three-hour meeting in New York City back in June, and Donald Trump was there, and pretty much the first two things that he spoke about were repealing the Johnson Amendment from 1954 that's been an effective gag order on ministers, and then our nation, our relationship with the nation of Israel. And I mean, I'm voting for Donald Trump. Let me say this. I'm an ordained minister, and I operate a nonprofit 501c3. And I'm saying, if you love God and country, you ought to vote Republican. And I dare the IRS to come after me. So many preachers are just afraid to speak. I'm a minister. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm a taxpaying American. And I'm saying, if you vote for the pro-abortion, pro-Muslim, anti-America, anti-moral, anti-objective truth, anti-Israel, left-wing platform of the Democratic Party, if you waste the stewardship of your vote on everything that is anti-God and anti-America, I really think you'll answer to the Lord for it. I really, really do. Because, Jerry, in 1 Corinthians 6, it says that it's required of a steward to be found faithful. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, we are not our own, we're bought with a price. That's why I really can't make the decisions. I have to temper my life in view of God's word. And I have to let Scripture be the moral and spiritual authority in my life. And that's why for this election, it's not that hard of a decision to make. I mean, it's not heavy lifting to look at the Democrat platform versus conservatism and decide how to vote.
Okay, what would you say to those who might say, well, clearly Donald Trump has you and people like you bamboozled?
Well, I would say that's an a priori fallacy. A priori means apart from experience. Anybody who says that I'm bamboozled doesn't know me. I don't quite know how to answer that other than to say that you can't know another person's heart.
Basically, what they're saying, Alex, they're saying that Donald Trump's track record of decades of being so liberal, pro-abortion rights, pro-pornography, you know, casino, gambling, all that kind of stuff, are such that he's just talking a good game, the evangelicals are a cheap date, but it, you know, these aren't things that he really believes.
Oh, I understand.
He's just trying to bamboozle us all. Okay.
Mike Pence.
Oh, yeah, that is a great answer. I like that answer.
You know, I mean, for anybody who thinks...
And personnel is policy.
Yeah, personnel is policy. That's exactly right. And my goodness, Mike Pence represents an absolutely brilliant choice of a running mate.
I agree.
For those that fear Donald Trump doesn't have the experience and he's not a Washington, longtime Washington insider, Mike Pence has governmental experience. Mike Pence has leadership experience. And he's definitely a Christian. I mean, he's definitely an evangelical Christian. And you think about the people that Trump could have picked, and I think that part of the proof. And look, ultimately, I don't trust a human anyway. I trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take people at face value. I don't try to read between the lines. I try to take people at their word. Until proven wrong, and you have to have discernment. But Trump, if you've read his policies, now I've been reading his policies for a year because I have to tell you, when he first came forward as a candidate, I was at an event in Washington and I watched a third of an auditorium walk out. There was another speaker, another one of the candidates was up speaking. Jerry, one-third of the room walked out in mid-sentence because Trump was out in the lobby just standing there. And I met him very briefly before this crowd descended. And I began to say to a lot of my Christian friends, I think this guy's really, he's got a chance. And so many of my Christian elite friends said, oh, give me a break. That's silly. There's no chance. He'll be out by Thanksgiving. He'll be out by January 1st. Well, I just had a gut feeling he was going to go all the way. And I began to read, and he wrote an op-ed called Creating a Culture of Life. And look, I mean, if I were his advisor, there's a lot that I would urge him to say and some things I would urge him to not say. However, here's why the left hates him so. Here's why the Republican establishment doesn't like him. And if he wins, I mean, my goodness, it'll be without the support of the Koch brothers and so many others. But he's not in anybody's hip pocket. He's not politically correct. He's not one of these that has kowtowed to the hyper-tolerant thought police and language police. He's his own man, and that just really, we've been so long without leaders that when one comes along, it's really frightening to a lot of people.
Hmm. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi said that basically people, Americans, should get on the board with the Democratic Party and with Hillary Clinton, and the reason that so many don't is because of guns, gays, and gods. You used a phrase, conviction shaming. We have about a minute left. What do you mean by that?
Well, the left and Nancy Pelosi is just at the tip of the spear, and she and Hillary Clinton, they try to shame and bully people who have moral convictions. And when we say that there is a God to whom we will all answer, there's a moral code that is tied to the character of God. Personal defense and national defense are permitted by the Bible, and heterosexual monogamy is God's design. That's not just some person's arbitrary opinion. That's revealed truth. And because, here's the core, because they can't win the debate with truth and logic, they have to resort to bullying and conviction shaming. And I call on people of all ages and all strata to stand for your convictions, and when you stand before God, you'll be glad you did.
Amen. Alex McFarland, thank you so much for being with us. AlexMcFarland.com. That's AlexMcFarland. Thank you again, Alex, for being with us. God bless you.
God bless you, Jerry. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.